faith will indeed sometimes be tested and stretched. But faith chooses, though, to move forward in obedience.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Has your faith been tested? Well, I want to tell you that if your faith has been tested, well, that's a sign or an evidence, really, that your faith is real. You know, I was talking about this with the elders in a meeting and going over this message here of this testing of our faith. And a very wise man, Merle, said, "A biblical faith is a tested faith." And isn't that true? Isn't that right? A biblical faith is a tested faith. And today we're going to read about a man whose faith was certainly tested. And that man was Joseph. And what we learn from Joseph's life, what we will see here today, is that faith will indeed sometimes be tested and stretched. But faith chooses, though, to move forward in obedience. It'll be tested, it'll be stretched. But faith chooses to move forward in obedience. Just a moment here, we're going to look at our text in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. But first, what is happening in our story here? Well, we know that just a short time before this, an angel had appeared to Mary and had told Mary that she, a virgin, was to conceive and give birth to a baby boy. And they would name this baby boy Jesus, you see, because Jesus means the Lord is salvation, or God saves. Couldn't have a better name than that, could we? And he would be the long-awaited Messiah, the one that the Jewish people had been waiting for centuries, the one that the whole world really had been waiting for thousands of years. Messiah was coming, the Savior, the Deliverer. And she, Mary, was to be his mother. But she was a virgin. Now, when Mary told Joseph this news, that she was pregnant and was to have this baby, I'm sure that made for an interesting conversation that day, don't you think? How do you think Joseph responded? Well, we see right in our text, Joseph responded the way I think many of us here would. He struggled with that. He didn't believe her story, that he loved her, but he couldn't believe this story, that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. It was an unbelievable story for him. So he had to struggle with this question, well, what do I do now? We see his faith is going to be tested, and not just by this story, but by some other things too. So let's look at Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Our text tells us, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." So Joseph was tested. He was tested by a number of things. And the first thing that tested his faith was what we might call crushed hopes or crushed dreams. You imagine Joseph and Mary. We think of them as this story, this Christmas story that we've known since childhood. And they're like these figures that we associate with a manger scene. But they were real live human beings like you and me, weren't they? They had hopes. They had dreams. Do you suppose they were looking forward to their married life together? I would certainly think so. I'm sure they were imagining what they were going to do, where they were going to live, how things were going to be, how many children they were going to have, what were they going to name their children, all those sorts of things. And the scripture tells us that they were betrothed. What does that mean? That was a, it's a like an engagement, but it's a much more serious form of engagement. It was a commitment to one another that was so binding that they were considered already husband and wife, even though the marriage was not consummated. That they were together, they were considered husband and wife, but they lived separately until the day would come when Joseph would come to take her to live with him in their new home, and then the marriage would be consummated, and they would live together then as husband and wife. So they are in that period of betrothal when they are separated. But in order, though, for this marriage or this betrothal to be ended, it required a divorce. In today's world, if a couple's engaged, they decide not to marry, what? They just say, well, we're not getting married. But in those days, it was a serious commitment. So Joseph and Mary, they are betrothed to one another. And then one day, I'm sure they had talked about all those things. Where are we going to live? How many kids are we going to? What are we going to name our kids? And then one day, Joseph receives this crushing news that Mary is pregnant. Probably put a bit of a dampener on his hopes and dreams, don't you think? And then, not only was she pregnant, but she said she had not been with any man. Joseph knew he hadn't been with her. She said she had not been with any man, but rather that an angel had come to her and told her that she was going to conceive by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. How would you have responded if you were Joseph in that situation? Would you have believed her? Would you have believed that story? Well, we know that Joseph didn't believe that story. He didn't believe that that had happened. Why? Because it tells us what his plans were. The text tells us what? That Joseph was a just man, that he was a righteous man. And that meant that what, he wanted to follow the law of God. He wanted to be obedient to that. But there is also an overtone of being a just man that he was a man of mercy and compassion as well. You see, because being a just person isn't just knowing the law of God and following the law of God, and I'm going to do what the law of God says, and there's no mercy or grace in that at all. That's not being a just or a righteous person biblically, is it? Because we know of some people in Jesus' day, actually, that were very good at following the law of God, supposedly, right? But it really wasn't in their hearts, and they were not very just or merciful or gracious at all, were they? So Joseph then, he was a just man, that he wanted to follow the law of God, and he knew, I can't take her now as my wife. I can't consummate this, given this. But because he was a just man, he wanted to have compassion on her. Now, what normally would have happened then is, well, Mary would have been she was already going to be exposed to public shame and ridicule as it became evident that she was pregnant. But what would happen is there was a divorce procedure that was very public. And Joseph could have taken her and dragged her before all the people of the town and announced the situation and that he was divorcing her. Exposing her then what? To further shame. But because he was a just man, unwilling to do that and to show mercy to her, he resolved to divorce her quietly. He was not going to subject her to that public shame. So I think Joseph did probably what a lot of us would have done. Even as men and women of faith, we hear a story like this, our hopes are crushed, we're told an unbelievable story, and he resolves, though, but being a merciful person, he resolves to do the right thing, but mercifully as he can. But of course, we know that Mary's story, hard as it was to believe, was true. And so an angel then appeared to him. You know, God has a way sometimes of when our hearts are aligned with him and are desiring to follow him, that sometimes even when there are situations that are difficult for us to believe, he has a way of helping our faith along, doesn't he? Sometimes these things, they test our faith. But when we resolve to be obedient to him, he can sometimes help that faith along a little. And so he did. And God sent an angel then to Joseph and told him, what, Joseph, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Now, isn't it interesting that he says, you know, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Why would he say don't be afraid? Because he knew that what? That he then was going to be associated along with what the people would see as what? As Mary's shame. And that he himself then would be subjected to that ridicule and all of the difficulty that that would bring at that time and their culture. And I'm sure that was something that he was not looking forward to. He would rather avoid that. But the angel said, what? Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And the scripture tells us what? And Joseph did as the angel said. The angel said, had verified everything that Mary had told him. That this baby was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That it was to be a boy that they would name Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. So don't be afraid, Joseph. Take Mary as your wife. And so what would that mean? Well, that would mean going to her and bringing her into his home, completing the marriage in that sense, but what? But not consummating the marriage. The text tells us they did not know one another. They didn't have sexual relations until after Jesus was born. And so Joseph was obedient in that. So Joseph then, he was tested by crushed hopes. He was tested by an unbelievable story. But I would suggest there was another thing that he was tested by too. He was tested by great responsibility. Because you see, this baby, it was pretty clear, this baby was no ordinary baby, was he? This baby was Messiah, the long-awaited promised one, the one who would fulfill the prophecy that the virgin would conceive and give birth. His wife was that virgin. This Emmanuel, God with us, was his son. So Joseph was going to have, he and Mary were going to have the great responsibility. Oh, just what? Oh, raising Messiah, raising the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. No pressure there, right? That's a great responsibility that he was going to have to care for Mary and the Son of God, the God-man. Did he really understand all of that? Probably not, but he clearly knew this was no ordinary baby. This was Messiah. And that he was going to save people from their sins? He would be the one who would raise the man, or in this case, the boy Jesus, in the law of God and in the word of God. Be his earthly father. How many of you who are parents, when you first found out, okay, yeah, it's official, you're going to be a mom, you're going to be a dad, felt a little sense of, uh-oh, this is real now. Someone's going to be depending on me.
Just if you have twins first.
That's why you have twins first, right? Okay, makes it faster, right? Yeah. So, but that's a lot of pressure, isn't it? A lot of responsibility. And now on top of that, oh, by the way, though, yours is actually also going to be the Messiah that's been promised for thousands of years. He's going to save their people from their sin. And you're going to call his name Emmanuel, God with us. No pressure, right? Joseph's faith was tested by first how his hopes were crushed. And then he's told this unbelievable story. But God ministers to him and strengthens his faith by sending this angel to tell him, yes, this is all true. But the test isn't over, Joseph. Now that you know this is true, think about the implications of the fact that it's true. Great responsibility is now yours, Joseph. You are going to be tested by great responsibility. But it wasn't over yet. There was still some more testing of his faith to come. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2. Text tells us, now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. And this was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region, who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream to withdraw to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. So Joseph has been tested by his crushed dreams, by an unbelievable story, by one difficulty after another, and now some difficult circumstances as well, difficult circumstances. That here he was in Nazareth with Mary, living as husband and wife together under very unusual circumstances. And then there's a Caesar Augustus issues this decree. There is to be a census, and he must travel then now to his ancestral town of Bethlehem. Nazareth to Bethlehem, that's about an 80-mile journey. Not difficult for us, right? We jump in our car and we're there right away. But they didn't have a car to jump into. They had to walk, or maybe if they were lucky, ride an animal. But probably a good bit of walking. And Mary's pregnant. And then, when they finally do get to Bethlehem, Mary's getting along now in her pregnancy. And they find out what there's, as Dennis and Rachel so ably demonstrated here this morning, there was no room for them there and had to stay in a stable, effectively. And they were going to lay their baby in a manger, an animal feeding trough. So here's some circumstances that would test most of us, I think. Don't you think? That you're already in a difficult situation. And now we have to travel 80 miles. And then we get there. There's no room in the inn. And now we're in a barn. What fun, huh? Do you think Joseph and Mary complained about this a little bit? What do you think that conversation was like on the way to Bethlehem? And then there's no room in the inn.
I don't
Unbelievable, right? Unbelievable. Come on, God. You've given us this responsibility of having Messiah, Emmanuel, and this is what we have to deal with? Right? You think maybe they expected a little better accommodations than this? How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you have complained about God's accommodations for you sometimes? You think, I deserve better than this. Come on, God. Right? But that wasn't the only test. See, there was another test. We know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Probably about a year passed, and they were in a home then. And some strange visitors make their way to Jerusalem. And Joseph and Mary would soon be tested by evil. The wise men, they were from the east. Don't know exactly where, but probably what we would know back then as Babylon and that region. And they were wise men. They were learned scholars. They were astrologers. And by the way, some Bible scholars want to play down the astrologer's angle because you think, how could God use that? But I think it's because God is gracious in wanting to send a message of hope and salvation to all, including astrologers, right? And so here was a sign. And how did these Babylonian or these Eastern astrologers know about a prophecy of a Jewish Messiah to be born, this Jewish king that would be born? How did they know about it? Probably went back to the days of when God's people were in exile there in Daniel. Remember Daniel in the lion's den, right? Probably goes back to those days, and that's how they became aware of the Hebrew scriptures and this prophecy. And they were learned men. They studied all of these things. And then they saw something, this star. And of course, that star has been a source of much conjecture. What was it? Was it a comet? Was it an alignment of planets? Was it this or that? And so sometimes you'll see presentations at this time of year about that. What might it have been? Well, it could have been a conjunction of these planets, or it might have been this. And trying to figure out what it possibly could have been. But the reality is, you know, I don't think it was any of those things. I think it was a supernatural expression of God's glory, what the scriptures call the Shekinah glory of God, like the glory that led the people of Israel in the wilderness. That just as it led the people by night, the pillar of fire that led the people by night in the wilderness, this was something that would lead the astrologers, these wise men, to where he would be born, where this king of the Jews. So the wise men travel. And by the way, there may have been three. There might have only been two. There might have been more. We don't know. But they arrive there. And if you were going to search for this king of the Jews, where would you go? You'd go to Jerusalem, the capital city, and you would go to the palace, right? Makes sense. So they go to see the current king of the Jews, who is Herod. They knew nothing of Herod. What do we know about Herod? Well, we know as far as building and constructing things, there's a reason why he was called Herod the Great. A lot of the things, if you visit Israel now, and by the way, thanks again for that trip there, a lot of the great architectural things remaining from that era, the time of Jesus, a little before, and those things were built by Herod, including that massive temple complex, the Temple Mount, as we know it today. So they go there. So he had a reputation for doing great things like that, but he also had another reputation. He was, you might say, a little jealous of his position. Now, he was so jealous that he was evil. And he would kill anyone who threatened his position, including his own family members. And so that's why then, this must have been an impressive sight, this delegation of wise men coming from the east. They're looking to see this newborn king of the Jews. Herod hears about this, and you know what his thought is. Here's a threat to my throne. And it says, and all Jerusalem was afraid. Why? Because they knew Herod's character and what this threat posed to him and what he would do. They knew his reputation as a vicious killer. So Herod tells them, yes, where is this child to be born? Here the supposed king of the Jews doesn't know the Jewish scriptures, right? And the scripture said, well, this king is to be born in Bethlehem. So he tells the wise men, well, go and find out exactly where he is and then come back to me and let me know so I can go and worship him. But of course, we know he had no intention of worshiping. It was his intention to kill him. So the wise men, again, God is graciously speaking to these astrologers. He warns them not to return to Herod. But they come, they see Jesus, they give these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And what were these? Well, these were very expensive gifts that were fit for a king. And they recognized that this was a special child, and they worshipped him. And then they were warned, don't return to Herod. And went back to their own country. And then Joseph is warned, what? You must flee. So now he was already in difficult circumstances, and guess what? Your circumstances just got a little harder. Herod's troops are coming to kill your baby. So flee to Egypt. So now he's got to get up, and he has to take his family to Egypt. And he was there. But of course, Herod's soldiers came, and they killed these baby boys under the 2 years old and under. Joseph no doubt heard about that. Do you think that was a test of his faith as well? That here he is, already all of these difficulties. He and Mary are to do this amazing thing, and yet it's one obstacle or problem or challenge after another. And now the king, Herod, is seeking to kill their child, and they have to run. And now they find out that his soldiers killed all of these other baby boys. Do you think that weighed heavily on Joseph and Mary? Lord, what is going on here, right? But then the news comes to him in the dream that Herod is dead. You can return now. So his instinct was to return to Bethlehem, where they were. But then he finds out, again, Archelaus, that's one of Herod's sons. After Herod died, his rulership was kind of distributed among three of his sons. And his son Archelaus was reigning in the region of Bethlehem. And guess what? He was evil too. He was as bad as his father. And so he's told it's not safe to go there. So he returns to Nazareth then. And then the scripture says something interesting. It says, when he returned to Nazareth, so the scripture was fulfilled that he would be called a Nazarene. Now, if you look in the Old Testament scriptures, you don't see there that Messiah was going to be from Nazareth, called a Nazarene. But what do you read there? Well, you read that Messiah, in Isaiah 53, some other, that he would be what? Despised and rejected. And so to be a Nazarene Nazareth was a despised town, a despised little community. People from there were rejected and despised. And so that's why he's called a Nazarene, that is, that he would be one who is rejected and despised. You might say the people of Nazareth were considered a basket of deplorables, of irredeemable deplorables. So that was the attitude that people had toward the people of Nazareth. And so here was this Messiah who would be a deplorable, to be rejected and despised. So Joseph was tested, wasn't he? But what was the response of his faith? Was it to run away? To be disobedient? He was obedient, and he endured. By the grace of God, he endured through these difficulties, and his faith evidenced itself by his obedience to what God told him in spite of the difficulty of the challenges then before him. So you might ask, well, so what? What does this to do with me here today? How does this story of something that happened 2,000 years ago to Joseph and to Mary, what does that have to do with me here today? Well, I want to take us back again and remind us where we started, that faith will be tested. A biblical faith is a tested faith. If your faith is real, it's going to be tested. And why will it be tested? First of all, it shows that it is real. But it will be tested in order to strengthen it. And it will be tested that in becoming further strengthened, that God then uses that, uses you, uses me to do other things, because our faith has been strengthened from testings in the past. So Joseph and Mary, their faith was tested. It was stretched. Would you say Joseph's faith got stretched a little bit from that day when he was thinking about he was betrothed to Mary. One day soon he would take her into his home. They would have their life together. He would teach his son to be a carpenter. And then all of this. Whoops. Would you say his life took a slightly different turn from what he had imagined? Absolutely. Absolutely. His faith was tested. It was stretched. But he chose obedience. So I would ask you then, has your faith ever been tested? You know, I promised you last week that I was going to tell you a little bit about where I said, well, you know what, my faith has been tested, and it has. Again, if it's a biblical faith, it's been tested. It has and it will be, right? So I thought about this, well, how has my faith been tested? Has my faith been tested by any disappointment or crushed hopes or dreams? Has my faith ever been tested by any difficult circumstances? Has my faith ever been tested by evil? I thought of that, oh yeah. And I could tell you stories about all of those things, but I'll tell you one here now that was a great test of my faith. And I'm gonna jump to the end right and tell you the decision I made. I have no regrets for that, okay? But here goes. See, there was a time I had had these hopes, as you know, I had these hopes and dreams of I wanted to marry and have a family, like most people do. So I had hopes for that. I had dreams for that. And, you know, I met someone. We grew very close. I came to love her. She loved me. And she was a wonderful woman. She was beautiful. She was intelligent. She was the valedictorian of her class at New Trier High School. So, you know, if you're the valedictorian of your class, at any high school, that's pretty good, but at New Trier, she was. And what that meant was, is we could talk about anything, you know, and discuss issues and debate issues. And when she was wrong, I would correct her, of course, right? And she would correct me, too, in all fairness, when I was wrong, okay? She was beautiful. She was intelligent. She was kind. She was generous. She was a wonderful person. And she loved me. But there was a problem. I knew, and she knew, she did not want to be a pastor's wife. And so here was a decision or a choice that I had to make. Oh, I didn't mention this either. If I can be very fleshly for just a minute here, okay? Her family was really rich too, okay? North Shore rich, all right? Kenilworth, Glencoe, Winnetka rich, okay? She's beautiful. She's smart. She is kind and wonderful. She loves me. Her family's really rich. But she didn't want to be a pastor's wife. Do you think that was a test of faith? Well, you can probably guess what I chose. And you know what? I don't regret it at all. You know what? And in time, she met the person who was right for her, and they've been very happily married now for a long time. But here we are, and I have no regrets for choosing this. Was I tested another way? Oh, you better believe it. Was I tested by great responsibility? There were some challenges when to first coming here. And that was a little bit of a, I had to think about that. There was some testing by evil, because I want you to know, if you didn't already know it, how important it is to put on the armor of God, because there are spiritual forces of darkness that want to bring you down. And I've experienced that up close and personal. But I have no regrets, and in fact, I'm stunned and can't believe that I get to do what I do here and would want nothing else and no other life. And so perhaps your faith has been tested, but the answer then to that testing is to choose. And we have to choose to be obedient. We don't want to be obedient sometimes, do we? But we choose to be obedient. And you know what? I can tell you from biblical experience and from personal experience that obedience to God, you'll never regret obedience to God. I didn't say it would be easy. I didn't say that there wouldn't be hardships, difficulties. I didn't say that it wouldn't be painful. But you will never regret choosing obedience. So I think this is the lesson that we learn from Joseph, is that faith sometimes indeed will be tested, it will be stretched, but faith chooses to move forward in obedience, and you will not regret that. So let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this time that we have had to reflect upon an amazing story of faith. And I pray, Father, that we would follow Joseph and Mary's example in this, who they were obedient to you in spite of numerous difficulties and testings. Lord, you know each one of us here. You know our circumstances. You know the tests that we're facing here today. God, I would pray that you would strengthen us, that you would give us the grace to do the right thing, to choose obedience. And I know, Lord, we'll never, ever regret that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.